Father, we just thank you this morning for everybody who has come out to proclaim your name this morning at Fort Kenyon Baptist Church to worship you in spirit and truth this morning. God, we just pray your blessing over the rest of the service, and we thank you. We thank you, God, for your faithfulness, for your goodness. If we just open our eyes and look past the storm, look past all the things that are wrong with the world, all the things that might be going wrong in our life, and just focus on the goodness of God. Lord, when darkness tries to cover the light, Lord, we say we're going to stand on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ this morning. The unmovable rock, the solid rock. On this solid rock, we will stand this morning at Fort Union Baptist Church. No matter what the world tells us that we can or can't do, Lord, we're going to stay in your word, and we're going to stay on your promises, and we're going to stand on the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the King of Kings. Lord, we thank you this morning. Lord, we just pray that you would open up our hearts this morning, as Corbin already prayed, but you would open up our hearts as we're going to be talking about this next week and maybe the next couple weeks after Easter. We're going to be talking about that seed that you want to plant in our heart. But God, we have to make sure it falls on good soil this morning. So Lord, I just pray that you would change our hearts this morning, remove all the hardness. Remove all the distractions that want to peck it away and destroy it and drown it out, all the weeds in our life. And let us just focus on the goodness of God today. Let us focus on your scripture that wants to teach us what is right and good and true. And also sometimes Lord needs to rebuke things that we need to get rid of. God, let us allow that today. Work in our hearts, individually and as a church. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Morning. I wanted to give you guys some information and update on some of our ministry efforts in Uganda. I think we're going to have some pictures that may come up as well. Here we go. So this is, for those of you that don't know, in January of last year, of 2020, Anthony and I and Malcolm Warfield and the Seed Ministry went to Uganda we had three main priorities. We wanted to have a pastor's conference. We wanted to establish a healthcare clinic in the community we were working in, which was a village on the outskirts of a small town. And we wanted to establish a school. So we just wanted to get something established. The clinic started in literally a wardrobe cabinet, was the medicine cabinet. Since we've left and gotten the clinic started, they've continued on. This is actually permanent shelving and a more secure enclosure that they've started. You can see just a vast array of medications there for adults and for children in this remote area. You can go ahead and click to the next slide. Again, just more shelving with the medications and such. You can keep going. And as you can just click to get through the clinic section to the next scene. So this is the front enclosure. That was just an open door when we left it, with a medicine cabinet inside and literally probably a dining table with a sheet over it as an examination table. They've actually been able to build in a cabinet. You probably can't see it there, but I think there may even be some plexiglass over it now with a little slide-through window. Or you can see the little arch there on the left-hand side. So it's a lot more secure. We just had a hasp block on it before. Go ahead to the next slide. It shows the exam table. They actually have a real exam table in there now for the patients. So through your generous donations, and work in the field, they've been able to continue this thing on. We left them there with the true spirit of the Seed Ministry, which is help them get something established and then teach them to improve it as they can, as they move along. As people can pay for the healthcare treatment they're receiving, they're able to put that back into the clinic. Go ahead and continue, if you will. And this is... Anybody have a guess what that is? I mean, I can tell you, this is a juice party in Uganda. Whether it be milk, their water, or their juice, they carry it in little bags like this. So that's actually the juice for a party that Fork Union helped sponsor back at Christmas. It was a Christmas party for the school children in the Holy Defender School that was established while we were there. You can go ahead, John. And they had, you know, just some basic celebration for them, some snacks, some cookies, and juice, which to these children is a huge blessing. They never get to have this kind of stuff. You can go ahead. So we wanted them to, you can see the joy in their faces, to have good food, a celebration, let them know that they weren't forgotten, even though the Mazungas, which is what they call us there, have been long gone. Go ahead. And they had a feast, just full of good foods for them that they don't normally get to have, except special occasions, and a happy festive season. You find things are a little bit different in Africa than they are in America. And something gets lost sometimes in the translation as you go from Merry Christmas to Happy Festive Season. But you know, the sentiment's still the same. So go ahead and continue going, John.
I think
that's it. Okay. So just to bring you fully up to speed, we wanted you to have some visual. I mean, you have to keep in mind, whatever pictures we're receiving are through little phones that are not the, you know, the quality that we're accustomed to. And they have to find, you know, the ability to get it sent over through the internet, which is not always reliable there in Uganda. But as far as the clinic is doing well, they have obviously expanded. They've turned a lot of their efforts back into it to make it more of a real healthcare clinic where people can come and get treatment. And we've also helped them some along the way with restocking and such as that, because everyone that receives treatment there may not be able to pay. I mean, people really live... They eat off of what they earn today a lot of times, and if you don't get to work, then you don't have any money today. So we've helped them a little bit along the way with restocking. They've done a good job of expanding it. The Holy Defender School started with just a handful of kids in a room with a handmade, hand-painted chalkboard. We received word back through Malcolm just within the last couple weeks they were planning to expand to 15 children and remodel an additional room to expand the school, the Holy Defender School. And, you know, the Seed Ministries concept was established with find an indigenous group where you can share the gospel, start working with them to improve themselves. Typically, it's funded 100% up front. And then in subsequent visits over the years, you start stepping that down and allowing them to become fully self-sufficient. And you can see that happening in this community. For me, being partnered with the Seed Ministry is... has been good for me, because Brenda will tell you I'm not always the most patient person. I expect things to get done the way they're supposed to do right now, and let's move forward. But it's more of a process, and you have to learn to work with people with what they have, where they're at in their environment. And it's not always easy. Like in this situation in Uganda, the community surrounding this clinic and this school is a very poor community. And they're not going to be able to be fully self-sustaining within a year or two. Currently, we're talking with Malcolm about maybe even sending some additional support back for the school. They've asked for our support to get the additional room ready and get the additional materials for the other children that want to come. Maybe even help them a little bit more along the way with their healthcare clinic as they're continuing to expand the ministry there in that community. So that's something that we'll be talking more about, but we wanted you to know exactly where they were at. And really and truly, just to reiterate what divine intervention this whole trip was, we flew back into Amsterdam with people wearing respirator masks. And I looked at Anthony and Malcolm and said, what's wrong with them? We've been out in the bush. We didn't have any idea there was a virus emerging. So literally the week we came back was the week the coronavirus really started becoming this big deal. Right at the end of January. So we were able to not only set up that school and get them started off there, but set up a healthcare clinic for this community to have access to healthcare, literally weeks before Uganda locked everything down and people couldn't travel. So if it hadn't been through your faithful giving and God's blessings and his divine timing, this community would have literally been locked down during a pandemic without any access to education or healthcare. So... sure, that was longer than you anticipated me to talk about it, but thank you for your gracious listening and let me give you the update on Uganda.
Thank you, brother. What y'all don't know is I dropped that announcement and that update on Dwayne about 2 seconds before the service started. So thank you, brother. Thank you for sharing that. And what he didn't know, because I didn't share it with him, is Ann's already working on sending a check to the Seed Ministry. They need $300 to add a new room or to finish a new room for the school for the additional kids. And because we haven't been able to travel, and because you've already given so much, He said, if the church will do 150, the seed ministry will match 150, and we had enough money in our missions fund already just to cut the check, send it, and they're going to be blessed. So God is so good, right? So it's so awesome. So anyways, I meant to share that last week, and we wanted to keep you up to date, because a lot of times we're getting these emails and stuff, but you guys don't know what's going on over there. And so that's just a little short update on it. So thank you, brother, for that. All right, Matthew chapter 12. We are going to finish Matthew chapter 12 today. Find verse 46. It's going to be the last couple verses, the last three or four verses in Matthew chapter 12. The title of the sermon today is Family Matters. Now, last week we saw, while you're looking for that, we saw where Jesus, we're kind of switching gears a little bit this morning. Jesus was rebuking these religious leaders. He even called them a brood of snakes when they demanded a miraculous sign from him. See, they didn't come to him like all the other people he had already healed and helped and all the things he had done. They didn't come to him with the same motives wanting a sign. They didn't come to him in faith. They came to him almost testing him and wanting just to fulfill their own selfish, unbelieving hearts. If you are who you say you are, prove that to me. Prove it to me. Because I have to see it before I believe. And that's not how we talk about it. That's not how God works. That's not how faith works. And Jesus told them exactly what they needed to hear. And it was the truth. Number one was this: an evil generation demands a sign. Number two, an evil generation refuses to repent of their sin. Number three, an evil generation refuses to seek godly wisdom. And number four, an evil generation follows false religion, false ideas. When we talked about how you can't fix ourselves, you know, you can't work enough, you can't do enough good deeds to be forgiven and be found just and right before a holy God who cannot be in the presence of sin. Only through the blood of Christ can we attain that. And we close talking about the fact, just like we said, that we can't fix ourselves and we must allow Jesus to enter into our hearts. It's not enough just to get rid of the sin in our life. It's not enough just to say, I'm going to sweep my room clean. If you look back a few verses from last week, we have to fill it with Christ. We have to let Christ come in and fill that place in our heart. Well, today we're going to see where Jesus is interrupted by his own family members while he's teaching, and we're going to see how he handles it. So not only is Jesus perfect and he's awesome, so he handles it perfectly, but he seizes this opportunity to make it a teachable moment or make it a teaching moment, not only to his family, but those who are present and standing around while he was there teaching. So as we read this passage today, I want to encourage you this morning, just like we were talking about when we prayed, let Jesus teach you this morning. We all got something different we're dealing with. We're all in different walks, in different levels of our spiritual life and how we're walking in closeness with the Lord or whatever it is, our spiritual maturity. So as we read through the scripture, even if you think, well, how's that going to apply to me? Let God speak to you this morning, because that's what happens. That's what he wants to do when we read his word. Amen? Amen. So it says, the true family of Jesus. Verse 46, starting there, it says this: as Jesus was speaking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside, asking to speak to him. Someone told Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside, and they are wanting to speak to you. Jesus asked, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Then he pointed to his disciples and he said, look, these are my mother and brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you before we get into the actual sermon this morning, the message that you've laid on my heart. We just thank you for your word. We thank you for the family of God. And we thank you for the grace of God and the mercy of God that we have available to us because of what Jesus did that we're getting ready to celebrate as this Easter season arrives upon us. Lord, we thank you this morning. And our lips will forever praise your name. We praise you, we love you, and we thank you. And we can't do it enough. In Jesus' name. Amen. So before we get started today, I want to point out two facts, or make two facts known that's probably already known in this room, but I want you to know it. As we talk about Jesus and his family today, we have to keep these two things in mind. Number one is this: our family that we have here on earth, our God-given family, our blood kin family, our relatives, is one of the best, of the biggest blessings that God has given us here on earth. Amen? Would y'all agree with me on that? And number two, our family is one of the most aggravating and distracting things that God has given us here on earth. Amen? Now, why'd y'all amen louder on that part than you did on the first part? But seriously, so family, even though it's a blessing and we love our family, we're not putting down the family, we're going to talk about that. It can be one of the biggest distractions in the life of a Christ follower. But we'll also talk about how the fact that Jesus proclaims the existence of this unique new relationship that's available to us and that he is presenting to us. And this is a spiritual family. You see, our family can be a subtle yet powerful opposition to God's will for our life. If your family doesn't understand your dedication as a Christ follower, and you say, look, God is calling me to go to Uganda, God is calling me to do this, or God is calling me to do that. Your family, if they're not on the same level with you as far as their commitment of Christ, they might be saying, are you crazy? You're going to go over there in that country? Are you nuts? You're going to go and you're going to move your family to pastor this church, or you're going to do this or do that, or you're going to start, wait a minute, you're going to start tithing money to the church when you got a lot of bills or whatever it is that you tell them what's on your heart or whatever. They might not understand it. And in fact, they'll become this powerful opposition for God's will in your life. I believe that there's no stronger pressure that a Christ follower can really experience like that of the pressure that comes from their own family when they don't believe, maybe an unbeliever in your family. You see, even Jesus's family, even Mary, think about that, was standing out there and she was interrupting Jesus, the Son of God. I want to speak to my boy. I want to speak to you. I'm your mother and I want to speak to you while he's teaching about the kingdom of God. Look back with me at verse 46 and 47. Look what he says. He says, as Jesus was speaking to the crowd, his mother and brother stood outside asking to speak to him. Someone told Jesus, your mother and your brothers are standing outside and they want to speak to you. So here's Jesus preaching to this crowd when mama shows up, right? He's doing what God had called him to do. Him and his mom and his brothers show up and they start interrupting. Right in the middle of his sermon, they say, hey, go tell him that we're out here and we want to talk to him. In the quest for authentic manhood study that we're doing, they just talked about that. This study has been going through, so far, has been going through different wounds in a man's heart, in a man's life, different wounds that we deal with, and why men act a certain way, why our culture is a certain way, because of the wounds that are in our heart. We go everything from the dad, and when we got to the mother, the guy actually used this passage. And he said, you know, sometimes you got to, the moms can love their sons so much that they don't want to let go of them. Anybody? Don't raise your hand. All right? But your mom's always like, well, you need to do this. You need to do this. When you're 40, 50 years old, your mom's still telling you what to do. You know what I mean? So it's perfect. Some people really chuckling in here now. Don't be pointing fingers. But does this mean that like Mary was evil? Does this mean that that his family was against him? That his brothers were evil? Does this mean they were trying to mess up his ministry? Does this mean that your mother, if she's like this, is trying to ruin your life? No, that's not what we're saying. Of course not. But what it shows us is they were human, just like me and you. They dealt with the same thing. So when the Bible says, when people say in the world, well, the Bible, that was written, it doesn't apply to today. All of it doesn't apply. I can't find one verse that doesn't apply. But see, they were human, just like, hey, and they had to watch Jesus grow up, right? They grew up with him. Mom had raised him from an infant. She fed him. She changed him. I don't know what kind of diapers they had, you know what I mean? But, it was probably some kind of cloth. Imagine that. Those of you that are old enough to remember those, reusable diapers. Soothing his skin knees, wiping his nose. I don't know if he ever had to correct him because he never sinned. I've always wondered that. So even though they knew all the great things Christ was doing, all the things they knew, Mary knew he was from God. Remember, from the birth, we celebrated at Christmas. The Holy Spirit, she became pregnant even though she was a virgin. So they knew all these great things. They saw him teaching. They saw the miracles he had done. Sometimes we probably would interrupt somebody just like they did if we were close to him like they were, more than we would if we weren't close to him. And I think that's what was happening, because that's what happens when we're close to somebody. And when we're really close to somebody, a lot of times our family sees the worst of us, right? Have you ever noticed that? Like sometimes if they see the best, but they also see the worst. And if we're going to treat somebody really bad, if we're going to really vent about something or whatever, it's going to be with our family member. You see, they felt that closeness with Jesus because he was in their biological family. He was in their blood relative family to interrupt him while he was preaching about the kingdom of God. And the closer that we are, the closer that someone is to someone else, the easier it is for us to either interrupt them or be a distraction in their life, or maybe even to take them for granted. If you think about it, we often neglect things in which are closest to us. We neglect those things that are always there available when we want them. Parents, I'll go see my parents sometime. I'm busy. Maybe I'll make time sometime to go visit my parents. Children, maybe with their children. Maybe later, sweetie, I'm checking my email. Maybe later, sweetie, I'm busy right now. We'll go play later. I'm guilty of that one. Maybe with our spouses. One day we'll go on a date. We should go on a date sometime, honey. Maybe a romantic trip, just the two of us. One day we'll do that. Friends, let's catch up sometime. Let's catch up sometime. And then sometime ends up being years and years and years that we don't catch up. We can do this with the church. We can do that with Bible study. You know why? Because this church has been here for 223 years. We say, it ain't going nowhere, right? Until Jesus returns, it's going to be here. I can skip a Sunday. I'll skip another Sunday. I know I should go to the Bible study to get around other Christians and be encouraged, whatever, but it'll be there next week. On and on and on. We can do that in our personal life with reading the Bible and praying. We neglect the things that we know that we can have anytime we want them, just like we do with our family. So this is what I believe was happening here. They were just coming to see their son. They were coming to see their brother. They weren't coming to see Christ. They weren't coming to see the Savior of the world, the King of Kings. They were coming to see their family member. But we have to be careful not to take away the wrong message this morning from this passage or the things that I've been pointing out to you, because Jesus wasn't disowning his family. That's not at all what was happening. He wasn't responding out of anger, and he wasn't aggravated with them. He wasn't mad at them for coming to want to speak to him. In fact, Jesus made it very clear just how important his family really was to him. He loved his mother. He loved her very much. That's why he made sure that his disciples knew that he wanted them to look after her before he died. Listen to what he said while he was hanging on the cross. He looked down and he said this to his disciples. Picture our Savior bleeding and dying and pulling himself up, trying to get another breath of life in him. And he looks down at his mother, who's on her knees weeping at the foot of the cross. And he looks to the disciple and he says this in John 19:27. He said to this disciple, "Here is your mother." And from then on, this disciple took her in his home. In fact, you know, the entire Bible teaches that we should take care of our family. And we should, the family unit is a very important component, as God designed. Children are to honor your parents. That's number 5 of the 10 commandments. Exodus chapter 20, if you're a note taker, you can look that up this week. Paul wrote about this too in Ephesians chapter 6, how we are to honor our parents. Parents are to love and to teach their children about God and to raise them up in the right way. Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you want to write that down, look it up. Ephesians 6 as well. Proverbs 22, right? We raise up our children in the way that they should go, and they will not depart from it when they're older. On and on and on. Husbands and wives are to submit to each other as to the Lord. Genesis chapter 2, from the very beginning, God laid out the work of the family. One man and one woman are joined together. They leave their parents and they come together and they become one. Ephesians chapter 5 talks about the relationship between a husband and a wife. Proverbs chapter 5, I love this, tells a man to be intoxicated by the love of his wife. It's like a romantic novel up in here this morning. But that's God speaking to us this morning. He wants a man to be intoxicated by the love of his wife. 1 Timothy, Paul says this in chapter 5, verse 8. He says, "But those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers." So you see that it's biblical to love and to care for your biological family. So Jesus is not saying that we should not do that. But what he's doing is he's getting ready to proclaim the existence of an eternal, everlasting family, a family that was spiritual. So look with me at verses 48, 49, and 50. We're going to see here that Jesus is proclaiming the spiritual family. This is what it says in verse 48. Jesus asked, Who is my mother? Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Then he pointed to his disciples and said, look, these are my mothers and brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. I love that. If you really think about what he was doing right there, he's standing up there teaching and they're telling him, they interrupt him, and he looks right at his disciples. Think about the affirmation and the encouragement that he was giving these guys who had walked away from everything to follow him. He points to them and he says, these are my brothers right here. These are my brothers. They left everything to follow me. So just in these three verses, Jesus tells us four things about this spiritual family. So if you're a note taker and you want to write it down, if not, listen to this. Number one is this, and this is pretty obvious. This spiritual family that Jesus is proclaiming is not based on blood or biological relationships. So again, this doesn't downplay the blessing and the responsibility that we have to our family, our earthly family. But this spiritual family starts with each of us when we have a relationship with God through our faith in Jesus Christ. This relationship begins, and it's supposed to have brothers and sisters. If we have a heavenly Father, we're supposed to have brothers and sisters and mothers and all these different people that come together as the church and the spiritual family. A relationship that is spiritual and it's eternal. And you think about our blood families, even as hard as it is for us to really think about, and I don't want to be grim this morning or anything like that, or make anybody worry about how short life is or anything like that. That's not the purpose. But everything here on this earth is temporary. It's temporary, even our family. But sadly, it's not only death that separates us. It's not only death that separates us from our family members. There's abuse, there's divorce, there's greed, there's unforgiveness, there's unfaithfulness in a marriage and in a family. On and on and on. It's all these things that we contribute as sinners, because we live in this world, in this broken world, that cause the family to not be eternal. But when we become a part of God's family, when we become a part of the family of God, all of a sudden we experience a relationship with our Creator, number one, not to mention the relationship that forms inside the family of God in the church. And this family is bonded together by the Holy Spirit. And when we're bonded together by the Holy Spirit, this is where we experience a family that goes even further beyond just being related to somebody. In fact, sometimes I believe our church family can sometimes be even more loyal. Sometimes our church family can be even more secure and loving, understanding, encouraging, challenging. Sometimes more forgiving. Right? Our family, sometimes it's hard. When you have a family feud, and to get over those things, it's tough. And it takes years and years and years. But a lot of times within the family of God, if we are living by the Word and we're obeying what the Bible tells us to do, even if somebody offends us within the church, we should be quick to forgive them. In fact, the Bible tells us, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. But listen to me this morning, church. God's greatest desire is for the human family, for God's family, for the worldly family, to be a part of God's family. Does that make sense? So what his desire is, there shouldn't be two separate things. His ultimate desire is for our worldly family to come together in the family of God, and then we will stay together. Right? If more families were a part of the family of God, more families wouldn't separate and they would stay together. They wouldn't be mad at each other. It's like that old saying, a family that prays together stays together. Right? I think about the relationships that we have with other believers. I think about the relationships with the people that we have in Uganda. I think about the relationships that God has blessed me and Jenny and other people with all over Zimbabwe and all over India and all the places that I've been blessed to go. There is no boundaries to a Christian family of God. There's no boundaries to the relationship between believers, because we're bound together by the perfect Holy Spirit. And that's what brings us together, and it's what keeps us together. Doesn't matter. There's no boundaries. There's no race. There's no nationality. There's no social class. There's no this or that or denominations. It's just, man, you're my brother and sister in Christ. I'm your brother in Christ. What a blessing. This family that Jesus talks about is not based on blood kin relationships. Number two, the second thing that Jesus tells us here about this spiritual family is based on discipleship. Who did he point to? Look what it says in verse 49. He pointed to his disciples. So he's talking to his disciples. He looks right down and uses them as an example. He says, look, these are my mother and brothers. You see, Jesus was trying to get them to see things from that eternal perspective. Okay, look beyond your blood relatives. Look beyond all that and look at the family of God and look how powerful and great. Look at the church and look what it's supposed to be. And an eternal relationship between Christ followers is based on discipleship. It has to be. So what does it mean to be a disciple? If you're a note taker, if you want to look it up, Luke chapter 14, verse 25 through 35, if you want to read that and be challenged and maybe be convicted, read that this week, Luke chapter 14. You want to see what a true disciple, that he puts Christ first and that he's supposed to put Christ first, even beyond his own family? Go there and look at it this week. Remember, the disciples left everything to follow Christ. Remember, they left their business, they left their families, and they just followed Christ. While Jesus' own family did not. Think about that. Just something to think about this morning. A true disciple, Jesus tells us what? He has to bear his or her cross daily. Die to ourselves. It doesn't matter what my passion wants. It doesn't matter what my anger wants or my selfishness wants. We die to ourselves. We nail ourselves to the cross and we become Christ followers. We become a disciple. We do things like the old bracelets we used to wear that would say, what would Jesus do? A true disciple must count the cost of following Jesus and the consequences that come with it. We have to know we're going to have to walk away from certain things. And God's going to call us. And if he calls us into something to walk away from something else, he's got something even better that we can't even... Paul tells us in Ephesians that we can't even think of the things that God wants to do for us. A true disciple must be ready to give up everything and follow Christ. And if you read John chapter 13 this week, you'll see... I'm giving you some homework if you haven't picked up on that. If you read John 13, you'll see that a true disciple must demonstrate true love. If you read John chapter 8, you'll see that we must be loyal to Christ if we're going to be a disciple. John chapter 15, we'll see that he doesn't want us just to follow him and be loyal to him and love him. We should start displaying some fruit for Christ. There should be some fruit being displayed when the Holy Spirit works in our life. So number two, this spiritual family that Christ speaks of is based on discipleship. Number three, the third thing that the spiritual family is based on, it's a family that's based on doing the will of God. Just like Jesus did the will of the Father when he came to this earth, ultimately giving his life for us on the cross, this spiritual family, the church, the family of God, should be built on nothing less. I want to start singing that song, than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. But it should be built on nothing less than the will of God. What does God want for our church family? What does God want for our godly family? What does God want for Fork Union Baptist Church? What does God want with Anthony Clore? What does he want with my life? What is he calling me to do? And am I going to follow him and do that? That's what Jesus tells us in this passage for today in verse 50. He says, anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, sister, and mother. You see, when we come together as the true family of God, and we are committed to doing his will. And I'm not talking about Fork Union Baptist Church. That's part of it. But I'm talking about the church, right? No matter whether we're in Uganda, Zimbabwe, India, China, wherever we are, when we come together as the family of God, committing to do his will and nothing else, we get to experience love, forgiveness, grace, and fellowship like we have never experienced before. Even within our own family. I think about the mission trips that I have been on. I think about the relationships that were formed there. Taylor and Budgie. Jenny and Chad and Rolf from Grace Life Baptist Church in Christiansburg. Those relationships are bonded together. We've seen each other, everything from throwing up in a van on the road there when we got something, we ate something bad, to complaining about our back hurting and stiff riding on a plane for 20-something hours. All the bad things we had to deal with when we see each other after we've been camping for a week. Probably don't smell the best, right? Our hair doesn't look all fixed up like it does on Sunday morning, right? But we've also experienced someone give their life to Christ under a little mud hut. In the shade of a tree in front of a grass mud hut in the middle of nowhere in Zimbabwe. We've seen people give their life to Christ together after the preaching of God's word, and the Holy Spirit works in a church service under a tarp that the pastor was his roof for his house, and he pulled it out into his lawn so he would have shade for the church service. We got to experience all that together. Dwayne this week sent me a picture of me and him holding up some dirty, nasty-looking towels where we got to wash people's feet in a church service in Uganda. And our hands were bleached white from their soap that they used there. It was one of the biggest or most awesome experiences I've ever had in my life. And Uganda people, just for the record, have really dirty feet. But that same relationship, church, listen to me this morning. You don't have to go to Africa. You don't have to go to India to find that relationship. That same relationship, once God wants to build it, and He is building it, and he's maintaining what He's built right here at this church, right here on the corner of Route 6 and Route 15. As long as we will just stick to following God's will, as long as this family will stick to doing what God wants and what the Spirit wants instead of what man wants or what our traditions want or whatever it is that we want, God's going to build those same relationships, and He is building those same relationships here. I think about all the outreaches we've done for the community. Think about all the outreaches. Now I say we have all pulled together and done these things. All the times where we come in here and we sing and we lift up worship and we preach the word and we just come together as believers and we lift up the name of Jesus Christ together. All the times when we reach out to another church member in their worst moment in their life and we're there for them. All the times we pray together, whether it be in private or whether it be right here in the front of everybody in the church service, when we come forward and somebody wants to pray together. Anytime we get to fill it up, or we go down to the river and we get to baptize a new believer. Anytime maybe we get to hear a testimony, or we get to share a testimony of what God is doing in our life. Even when we clean up and spruce up the church building, we have an opportunity to grow closer and closer and have that fellowship like none other. We were talking about it yesterday, how awesome it is. Even to come and just work around the church and clean up and get rid of some of the clutter and to clean up across the street and split firewood for people in need in the community. It is a blessing. You're the one that gets the blessing for doing it. Just serving and just having fun. And it's just awesome. We grow closer and closer as a family of God. And the reason we grow closer and closer to the family of God is because we're doing the will of God. Anytime we come together as the family of God and we are doing things for other people to advance His kingdom, so more people will hear the gospel, so more people will have things they need, so more people will see the love of Christ shining through us. Like Lauren always says, let our Jesus light shine. We're working together doing the will of God. Jesus says this in John chapter 15, verse 14. He says, "You are my friends if you do what I command." What a simple and powerful thing that Jesus told us right there. You want to be a friend of Jesus? Do what He says to do. First of all, what does He say to do? We're going to talk about at the end of it. He wants you to accept Him and accept what He did for you. But He also wants you to follow His teaching and the example that He gave us. Number four, the last thing we see about this spiritual family is this. This spiritual family is based on each one of us individually, having a personal relationship with God, our Father. We talked about it in the quest for authentic manhood. He shared so many stats, and this study I think was from the early 2000s. How many stats and how many problems stem from our worldly families and our unit here in our country because the fathers aren't present in the home. It has to start with a spiritual relationship, a personal relationship with our Father in heaven. Our Creator. We can't be a part of a spiritual family if we don't have a Heavenly Father. You see, God's will for us all, if you want to know what God's will for you and you don't know anything what God's, first of all, He wants a relationship with you. That's His will for your life. If you have a relationship with Him, He's already got you on the fast track. And then when you share time in that relationship with Him, He's going to show you more things that He wants you to do and more things that He wants to do through your life. So if you don't know what God's will for you and you're already spending time reading the Word and you're spending time praying, you're already doing the will of God. You just have to allow Him to keep on teaching and keep on showing. And you have to have the faith to step out and say, "I'm going to do that when you call me to do it, God." That's why Jesus gave His life upon the cross, to make a way for us to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And Jesus told us that in order to be a part of the family, we must be what? We must be born again. A spiritual rebirth given to us when we call upon Christ to be our Lord and Savior. Not because my grandmother did it, not because everybody else in the church did it and I go sit with them for an hour, but because I personally said, I want to accept Christ as my Savior. John 3:3, we talked about this the other week. It says, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking. He says, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, first step to salvation is realizing how desperate we are for salvation. We're each born, even as babies, we were born into in that curse of sin that started even all the way back with Adam and Eve when they rebelled against God. King David wrote about it when he was shameful and had struggled so much about the sin and how much he had done. In Psalm 51, 1 through 5, I encourage you to go back and read this week, the whole thing. It says this. He says, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stains of my sin. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. Listen to verse 3. He says, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. And you will prove, and you will be proved right in what you say. And your judgment against me is just. He says this in verse 5, for I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. You see, each of us, we follow that sinful nature and we become separated from God from the moment we are a child. We talked about that the other day with some people here. Even a young child, if they know they're not supposed to put something in their mouth. Hope you're listening back there, Addie. I'm preaching to you this morning. If we know we're not supposed to put something in our mouth, what will a baby do sometimes? They'll even do this. They'll even go. And they'll watch to see if you're going to catch them. You're going to fuss at them. So even when we're a child, we've got that sinful nature that just takes over us. And until we reach the point where we realize our need for the fellowship with our Heavenly Father and we realize how far we've been set apart from Him because of our sin, until we admit that we're sinners and we're in desperate need of forgiveness, we don't know what it means to be a part of the family of God. We don't know what it means to be adopted into the family of God. Because there's a big difference this morning between being a church attendee or a church member and being a member of God's family. Amen? It's a big difference. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 through 5. I want to close with this. It says, even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. Listen to that, church. Listen to that this morning. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Even before He made the world, God loved you. He loved me and chose me in Christ. He already had a plan to buy us back with Christ to all those who would believe. God decided in advance to adopt us into His family by bringing us to Himself through Christ. This is what He wanted to do. And it gave Him great pleasure. And we know this, John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It says, for this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent His Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him. So as an invitation this morning, I want to ask you this. Will you accept the invitation this morning to be adopted into the family of God that we've talked about this morning? There's no catch to it. There's just a simple surrender of saying, I'm ready to be forgiven. I'm tired of living in the guilt. Lord, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, not because of anything I can do. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stains of my sin, O God. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. Oh Lord, I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I'm not blaming anybody else. I'm saying I have sinned against my God. I have done what is evil in your sight. And you will be proved right in what you say. and your judgment against me is fair, for I was born a sinner. Yes, even in the moment my mother conceived me, I was a sinner. But don't get hung up on that. Let that be the thing that causes you to accept the invitation we hear right here. For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. I don't see any strings attached to that. I don't see any nationality or any country or any denomination attached to that or any list of sins that aren't included in that. It says everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent His Son into the world not to judge the world but to save it through Him. Will you accept His invitation this morning to be adopted into His family? And I want to extend this invitation to you. Will you take the invitation? If you maybe you didn't know you were invited, I want to tell you this morning, you're invited to be a part of this family that God has, that He's placed right here at Fork Union Baptist Church. Either way, if you want to accept the invitation this morning to be a part of God's family or to be a part of this part of God's family, this time is for you this morning. If there's something you need to pray about, something you need to give to the Lord, something you need to lay at the foot of the cross, and just something you've been carrying, some kind of guilt or shame or whatever it is, that's what this time is. So as the worship band comes this morning, as we sing about the goodness of God, will you accept that, the goodness of God this morning? Will you really believe it, stand on it, and accept the invitation that's been given to you? If you're ready to do that this morning,
let's pray and let's close with just proclaiming how thankful we are to be a part of the family of God. Are y'all with me on that? So let's pray this morning. Father, we love You and we thank You, Lord, for our earthly family. Lord, we thank You for the responsibility and the blessings that we have in our family that You give us, whether it be our mother, our husband, our wife, our children, grandparents, nieces and nephews. Lord, we just thank You for the gift of family. But God, we thank You even more for the family of God. Oh God, what a privilege to be adopted into the family of God. Lord, help us to live this week like we are a part of the family of God. Even with our earthly family. Lord, may we give that grace. And may we lead the way that the Holy Spirit leads us instead of the way our flesh leads us. God, I just pray that we would go out this week just like Chavis. And be bold this week for You.
Amen.
Lord, we love You and we praise You. We thank You again for Your grace and Your mercy. And we thank You for the family of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.